I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN, and as promised, ESRadio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider Calls always brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell. Eddie joins us now. Ryan, appreciate the time. Are you more optimistic about sort of this being pulled off as we're, you know, basically a day away from the rest of the league or the majority of the league getting down to Orlando? Are you more optimistic about it being pulled off? Are you more pessimistic about it being pulled off? Are you feeling about the same? Sort of where are you as the restart starts to get really real?
That's a great question. And honestly, I think my thoughts on it depend on the day and the time when you ask me. It is a roller coaster. I think a lot of that depends on, obviously, the positive COVID-19 test results, which I think have been good relative to my expectations. There were fewer positive COVID tests than I anticipated. But, you know, today there was some tough news, especially on the Eastern Conference bubble, that some of the best players, and Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards and Spencer Dinwiddie from the Brooklyn Nets, will not play. I think that the league will do everything it can to, start on July 30th and then play the 8 seeding games and then play a full playoff slate. Now, what will the basketball look like or how competitive will certain games, certain teams be? I think a lot of that remains to be determined. But, again, I think the league will do everything it can to push forward and try to finish the season regardless of who's available for the teams involved.
Is it still the same if you don't have a Boston if Gordon Hayward's pulling out in the middle of the Eastern Conference Finals, because his wife is ready to give birth? I know, Jason Tatum has kind of been, but are we going to have, the true versions of teams, do you think, by the time this, and like you said, Ryan, I guess 2 days ago you asked me this and I'm probably feeling pretty good about it, but the more it goes each day, you just wonder, is this going to look anything like the real thing when it comes to some of these top contenders and their chances at a title?
Yeah, I think for the most part, the contending teams, players will travel and stay and try to win a championship.
So.
I was a little surprised by Avery Bradley deciding not to play. He's the one, I think, guy on the teams that I think are in the top three, the two L.A. teams, the Lakers and Clippers in the Western Conference and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference, who, is a key cog on the Lakers and decided not to play. There have been some other big names who have pulled out. I mean, Victor Oladipo did it late last week. I mentioned Bradley Beal today. So I think, guys, that what I'm more worried about, honestly, in the short term or when the games get started in Orlando is certain teams just not being competitive at all. Again, looking at the two on the playoff bubble in the Eastern Conference, the Washington Wizards, now they don't have arguably their three best players. Certainly their two best players in John Wall and Bradley Beal aren't playing, and Davis Bertans, who had a terrific year for them as well. And then the Brooklyn Nets, you could argue that their three top players as well, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and now Spencer Dinwiddie, aren't playing, and they also have some depth issues with DeAndre Jordan, Wilson Chandler, and Nick Claxton not playing as well. So I think the league should think about the roster limits, guys, and potentially look to expand rosters. Or one interesting idea that Anthony Tolliver had that I'm sure you guys heard in Memphis was allowing free agents to come into the bubble to work out and train and then be available to be integrated on the fly if a team wants to sign them.
No, I thought it was a great idea, and it makes a heck of a lot of sense. What Dwight Howard, we saw opted in. How critical a piece is he for the Lakers in terms of winning the whole thing? No, he's not the starter with McGee there, but has played a ton of minutes. More importantly, keeps Anthony Davis comfortable. He can keep telling himself, I'm at the four. How key is he in terms of them winning a title, his presence?
I think he's very important and got even more important with the decision by Avery Bradley not to play. They're different players, obviously, play totally different positions and different styles. But the Lakers' depth, I think, without Bradley and Howard, if Howard decided not to play, would be significantly tested. And now with Howard, I think the Lakers can rely on their defense. They had a top-five defense this year. Dwight's had a phenomenal year, and I was as critical as anybody of Dwight, questioning why the Lakers signed him and questioning his motivation. Obviously, we'd heard that in some of his recent stops between Houston, Charlotte, Washington. You know, it seemed like he was running out of chances quickly, and he really had a terrific season for the Lakers relative to the expectations coming in. He played a big role for them. So I think it gives the Lakers the ability, specifically their head coach Frank Vogel, the ability to split the minutes at the center position between Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Frank Vogel's able to overcome foul trouble or an injury to one of those two guys. Usually they play about 18 to 20 minutes a game, and now the Lakers will continue to be probably the biggest, most athletic team in the league, especially on the front line.
You know, Ryan, we have seen, with the MLS, they have this MLS is back tournament that is, supposed to be going on soon. There was supposed to be, a friendly, tomorrow against Nashville, with Nashville and another team, Chicago Fire, but they've had to postpone this game because of just rampant positive tests from the Nashville team. And I worry a little bit here, like that we are looking into the future with this, right? Like I don't know how similar their bubble is. I don't know sort of what the protocols might be totally different, but I think the NBA was totally prepared for at the return of this to have positive tests. Are they prepared for there to be positive tests in this bubble? Because I feel like that is all but a certainty. It has been with the MLS bubble. There were guys who tested negative upon their departure, got there, immediately tested positive. Like, I think that's sort of my largest concern. Is the NBA prepared for that when it ultimately does and will happen?
Well, I think that's a significant concern, especially when you look at the Dallas MLS team who had an outbreak of positive tests and decided just not to go. Yep. They're just not going to participate in the restart, which is also in Orlando. So that has to be concerning for the NBA. And look, getting back to the idea that Anthony Tolliver was the first one I saw bring it up, I strongly feel, guys, that the league should bring a pool of free agent players, 10 to 15 guys. That may seem like a lot to some people, but I'd say bring 10 or 15 players at different positions, everywhere from point guard through center, and have them work out and have them train. The league has enough money; they could pay those guys a small stipend to make it worth their while, and so they wouldn't obviously lose money going there. But and then if a team wants to sign them, the teams can even work them out and watch their workouts. And then if there is a rash of positive COVID tests, there are players who are in shape who have already tested negative for the virus and are able to play immediately. Because look at it the other way, guys. If the league does not do that, well, what if a team has a rash of injuries or more likely an outbreak of the virus, they're depleted, then players have to get on commercial flights and fly to Orlando, which obviously carries some risk, and then the current testing protocols, my understanding of it, guys, is that they have to wait a week to clear all those different protocols and checkpoints before they'd be able to even practice with the team. So I think the league really needs to get out ahead of that and bring NBA caliber players who are ready and available to play into the bubble and have them on standby for if and when a team needs them.
I'm just curious, like, is this, you look at the Nets, I mean, they're going to have probably a couple of guys from Memphis and Chris Chios and Jeremiah Martin, who have to play because they have to field a team. Is this going to actually end up being a possibly, blessing in disguise for some of these guys who would not otherwise be getting any kind of playing time in the playoffs, like a Chris Chios? But that leads to, more maybe lucrative opportunity with a professional team down the road?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to audition, and I'll give you an example of that. A guy who actually just opted out today with the positive COVID-19 test, Spencer Dinwiddie. He's a guy who bounced around the league a little bit. He was with Detroit and then Chicago. Didn't really gain any traction there. With his third team, the Brooklyn Nets, he got an opportunity to play, and he's really taken advantage of that, to the point that he has a three-year, close to $40 million contract, and, scores over 20 points a game and has really established himself as a very good NBA player. I think the teams have to view it that way. But look, what I worry about, I think there will be opportunities for individual players, but what I worry about, guys, from a competitive balance standpoint is, how's the Milwaukee Bucks series going to look in the first round. You know, when they're playing the 8 seed, I think that's going to be, it's certainly likely to be either Washington or a very depleted Brooklyn Nets team. Washington doesn't have their top three players. Brooklyn doesn't either. That could get ugly, and I just think where we are, there's no way around that. And the league, you know, may try to schedule that series with a bunch of condensed games just to get it over with, because I think some of the competitive balance things for TV viewership and listenership could get pretty bad, given the mismatches that some of these games look like on paper.
You know, we have watched Utah try to figure it out with Mike Conley, obviously having the feelings we do for Mike here in Memphis, and sort of would that work out. Do you expect things, though, when it comes to Donovan Mitchell and Gobert, can they get back to business as usual? Can they get back to, like, chemistry as usual? Once you start playing the basketball again, Ryan, do the feelings go away and the trust automatically returns? Or is that something serious that they'll have to watch there? What do you think happens with those two?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think what this COVID-19 test did, guys, in mid-March when the league shut down, was expose some underlying issues that were there. Tim McMahon from ESPN.com wrote a really good article about that today, just some of the friction and tension with Rudy Gobert doing a lot of the dirty work. Obviously, he's a tremendous defensive player. Mm-hmm. He's a multiple-time Defensive Player of the Year winner. He's a great rebounder. He sets good screens. On the court, he's really the kind of teammate that I would like to have personally, because he's so unselfish and doesn't demand the ball or a lot of touches. So I think there was some friction between Rudy and Donovan about that. My guess is once the ball goes up and the game start, they'll put that aside. I mean, look, there have been a lot of great players. Obviously, in recent history, Kobe and Shaq, probably the best example of it, who didn't really get along but put their differences aside and won championships together. So I think they'll be okay from that regard, guys. I'm more concerned about Utah on the restart, just without Bojan Bogdanovic. I thought he was a real key cog on that team. And given the talent and depth in the Western Conference, if you ask me today if Utah's going to advance past the first round of the playoffs, I'd say they're probably not, given, again, the talent and depth in the West and the fact that the Jazz are missing Bogdanovic.
Yeah, we're talking to Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. You can catch him on Scouting Pals. It's available on Radio.com, wherever you find your podcast. It's an absolute must-listen if you are an NBA fan. You know, today, Ryan, a lot of people have been talking about the Patrick Mahomes deal. 10 years up to $503 million is what the extension could be worth in the end. I think it'll end up looking like a great deal in 10 years because the cap is just going to go up astronomically as it usually does. Who is the Patrick Mahomes of the NBA? Who is sort of the guy who is going to, you know, carry? Is it Zion? Could it be Ja? Who's sort of the, is it Giannis? Like, who's the Patrick Mahomes of the NBA in your eyes?
That's a great question. I think the guy who was going to break records was Giannis, but the world changed in mid-March, as you guys know. And so what I mean by that is I think the pandemic and the decrease in revenue, not only for the Bucks specifically, but for the league as a whole, could really negatively impact mm-hmm. Milwaukee and make Giannis more likely to play out his contract and hit the unrestricted free agent market for no reason other than finances, guys. So, you know, he likes it, Milwaukee, but the team has done obviously very well since he's been there, especially since Mike Budenholzer arrived 2 years ago. But, you know, if the money is down and those max extensions are tied to the cap, it obviously makes sense to, you know, keep delaying it, keep pushing out, you know, that extension signing by Giannis, and then, you know, and then wait for the economy to rebound and the money to start flowing back in at the levels that were historic, you know, pre-pandemic, prior to the shutdown. So he's the one, that the first name that comes to mind. But going forward, assuming the economy is going to rebound over the next couple of years, the two guys I keep my eye on are Luka Doncic in Dallas and Zion Williamson in New Orleans, with John Morant in your backyard being a third. What I think is going to happen, guys, by the time those three players are extension eligible, hopefully there's a vaccine, the money starts flowing back into the system, and the numbers those guys are looking at, not only on their first extension, but potentially on their second one as well, as they approach their late 20s, could be astronomical, and we could be talking about a number of NBA players who, by the time their career is all said and done, those young stars have made over $500 million from their NBA player contracts alone.
Ryan, how does, other than the obvious, which is winning, but you know, that's what New Orleans had hoped for too with Anthony Davis. How do you avoid that situation? They're hopefully banking on not having a repeat with Zion. But if you are Memphis, how do you avoid being that New Orleans situation where they just, it felt like they just messed it up with Anthony, where you didn't have a plan in terms of putting a real winner around him, and eventually he goes out and he thinks about big markets and he leaves you. If you're Memphis, how do you avoid doing that happening with with Ja Morant, other than just the obvious winning? What are some of the keys?
Yeah, I think it obviously does start with winning, as you mentioned, but then the plan and the communication of the plan to the player and his agent, in this case, Ja Morant, I think that's really important as well. But keep in mind, I mean, hopefully this will give your listeners in Memphis some comfort. No player coming off his rookie scale contract or even approaching the fourth year of his rookie scale contract, which will be Ja Morant in 2 years, has ever turned down a max extension. Every single player has signed that max extension when it was offered. Mm-hmm. So the Grizzlies fans should plan on Ja Morant playing the next couple of years. I think if he stays healthy and continues on this trajectory, offering a max extension is an easy decision for Zach Kleiman in the front office in Memphis. My guess is Morant will sign it. So then it becomes, you know, again, the relationship, the communication, and showing Ja the plan in terms of, hey, look, you're doing great.
Right.
You're an all-star who's potentially headed to the Hall of Fame. Here's what we're going to do with our current roster, and here's what we could do in addition to complement your skill set. And I think that communication, when you have a young star, is so important. It keeps the player happy and then keeps them as part of the program and sweeps any tension or friction under the rug to keep them in a Grizzlies uniform for a long time.
Yeah, that certainly is. I think that does come as comfort, certainly for the Grizzlies fans who are listening right now. Hey, Ryan, man, we appreciate the time. Insight as always, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Always good to be on with you guys. Thanks, Jason and John.
Yep.
Great stuff.
He is Ryan McDonough. Catch him on Scal and Pals. Again, available on radio.com, wherever you get your podcast. Brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Conference Podcast Series. You can catch that on radio.com/Dell.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.